Good morning, one and all. Lovely to see you all. My name is not Spencer Critchlow, but Spencer has a rather bad cough this morning, and so he felt in the light of the pandemic and so forth that he should relinquish his spot and allow me to not wear my mask today, which was very kind of him. So you're all warmly welcome to our service today. We're just very conscious of God's goodness to us. It's much colder than it's been the previous weeks. So we're heated all close, and we put the heating on, and 1 minute of it opened there. But also welcome to any who might be listening who aren't able to get to church, but will be listening to this online. You are also warmly welcome to our service today. And I'm going to begin with a verse, which is an amazing verse, from the book of Corinthians, letter of Corinthians. It says this: what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. It's amazing as we look in the Word of God and we see those things that God has prepared for us because he loves us so greatly. And today, in fact, instead of continuing the series on Galatians, which we've started, I'm not going to be speaking on that because I got very short notice. I'm going to be speaking on heaven is your real home. That's what God's prepared for us, and we're going to rejoice at looking at that together. But we'll begin our service by listening to the first song being sung for us, Be Thou My Vision. You can hum it under your breath, even if you can't perhaps sing it in your mask song.
Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. Lord, be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best God, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, at present my life. Thank you.
Gracious Heavenly Father, how we come here with joy this morning to worship you, the one true God. We praise you and thank you for who you are. We marvel at what you have done for us in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die for our sins. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, which you have given to all those who know and love you. And Lord, today as we consider what you have prepared for us in the future, we pray, gracious God, that you will touch our hearts. You will help us to realize the extent of your love for us. You will help us, Lord, to realize that your resources are never exhausted, nor your power ever diminished. Please break through to our hearts today in a troubled time with the pandemic, and may we be very conscious of your presence. Father God, help us to trust you in this time of fear. And Lord, we do of course pray for our nation. Have mercy on our government. Have mercy on our nation, Lord, as it seems that lockdown is increasing again. Please give us the willingness to cooperate and to do all within our power to lessen the spread of this virus. Gracious God, we particularly pray for those who are feeling down, who are feeling lonely, who are feeling distressed by this long pandemic. And we pray, gracious God, that something of your presence will touch their hearts and give them joy and peace in the midst of the trials. And Father, we readily acknowledge too that we're sinful. We often fail you in thought, word, and deed. Father, we often act, even as Christians, in a way that is not worthy of you. And we pray today that you'll forgive us, for we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, please be with us today. May we be conscious of your presence in our midst and help us to worship you, whether we're in the church or whether we're in our homes listening to this online. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Once again, I reiterate the very warm welcome that you have to our fellowship today, especially if you're visiting us for the first time. We have David here, who's come today for the first time to our little church, having visited previously our sister church in Enfield. The notices for this week are probably the usual notices. Obviously, we can't meet in the church, and various things will come to you online. We pray, praise you and thank you for that. But we should just mention a couple of things. Hazel Turner, who's a regular member with us, was taken to hospital on Wednesday, having fallen down the stairs. Fortunately, she's not broken anything. but she's staying in hospital over the weekend, and she is having much needed tests that she was waiting for anyway. So we rejoice that by this means she's able to have those tests. Last week we prayed for Pete over here, who's cut his hand in a bad accident, and we prayed for him, and this week God answered the prayer that he had surgery, which we're grateful for. That seems to have gone well. We'd like to pray for Paul and Anna Rogerson, who are regular members here. They're expecting a baby, as many of you know, and they rejoice that at the 20-week checkup, everything's gone well, and we can continue to pray for them. But in addition to that, they're selling their flat in this area, and they're moving up to be much nearer to his family, and we're asked to pray for the sale of their house here and the purchase of their house up in Preston. We should also remember the care homes in our area. I know that John's wife, Naila, works in Cooperscroft Care Home, and we have the three care homes that we're specially concerned with. We've got Cooperscroft, we've got Cuffley Manor, and we've got Mayfair Lodge. So we'll be praying for those three care homes and praying for those who find this time so difficult. I'm going to ask Trish to come up and to pray for those things. And welcome, Trish.
Let us pray. Father, we just thank you that Pete's operation went well, Lord. Father, we just pray for healing and pain control, Lord. We just pray we will heal quickly, Lord. We just praise and thank you for that. We also remember Hazel. We thank you, Lord, that she is quite chirpy and getting the test that she needs in hospital. And also we thank you, Lord, that she is being witnessing to people in hospital and praying for them, Lord. We just pray you uplift her at this time, Lord. Father, we just remember Anna and Paul. We just thank you for them. We thank you for the news of the baby. We just pray you'll keep Anna well and the baby, Lord. We just pray you will be with them as they are selling their flat and buying a house up north, Lord. We pray for your timing on everything, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're in control. And Father, we do remember Laura and Spencer, particularly Spencer, as he's got this cough, Lord. We just pray that he'll be able to get this test soon, Lord, to find out whether he's got COVID. And we lift the family up to you, Lord. Father, we also remember Chloe, who's in Hong Kong, had news that her mum's been in hospital a few days ago, Lord. And we really pray you'll be with Chloe as she's isolating for another 6 days. But Lord, we pray that her mum will not mix up her tablets for back pain, Lord. We just pray for your hand on that situation, Lord. We also remember the care homes, and Lord, we just pray for Cuffley Manor, Cooperscroft, and Mayfair Lodge, Lord. And Father, we just thank you that we know people, particularly in Cuffley Manor and Cooperscroft, Lord. We just pray you be with the staff, help them to be sensitive to the patient's needs. And Lord, we pray that you look after them, especially in this very difficult time, Lord. We pray that they will know your Holy Spirit and care and love. We also think of Mayfield Lodge as well. We think of Barbara, who's in there, Lord. We pray for safety. And Lord, we just pray you would watch over them at this very difficult time, Lord. Amen. Oh, yes. P.S. We also thank you, Lord, that Alicia had a knee operation. Amen.
And just as the service was beginning, Spencer drew his car up alongside the church and said he was off to get his COVID test, so apparently he's got somewhere to go to get one. So your prayer is answered. I'm now going to ask Jack to come up and to have our readings. You'll see the readings will come up on the screen. They're two short readings. And And Jack is going to read these passages from the Word for us.
Our first reading is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, now who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And the second one is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic, arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulphur. This is the second death."
We're going to come now just to briefly mention some of the truths which are found in those scriptures and many other scriptures. We didn't have time to read all the scriptures which mention about heaven being our real home. But as we come to look at God's word, I'm going to pray and then I'm going to lead us as we meditate on this subject. Let us pray. If anyone speaks, he should do it as speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power for ever and ever. Amen. I say that prayer with meaning because every time one is asked to open the Word of God, it's a huge responsibility to open up the very words of God and to explain them to people. But it's an enormous privilege, and one does it with the sole desire that it will be for God's glory, and that one will open the Bible accurately and explain it meaningfully. Now, a good motto for Christians is RFA, ready for anything, and when I was asked last night to take the service today, it was a bit of a surprise, but by God's grace, I had prepared this message, which I was able to give to one of our partnership churches. So what you're getting today is something I have thought through. I've recently been rereading that amazing book, Pilgrim's Progress, by John Bunyan, and he reminds us that we're on a pilgrimage and that our destination is our celestial home. And that is absolutely in keeping with the Bible. And Jesus said, "I confer on you a kingdom. This is the kingdom of heaven. And heaven is our real home." We are told clearly in scripture, we read it, Jack read it for us, we're to set our minds and we're to set our hearts on things above. In other words, we are to spend time thinking about heaven. And Paul writes, "You've died, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's an amazing statement. And he says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. As Christians, we do need to think about heaven. We don't have to fear death, because we're metaphorically, we've already died, and we're now part of God's kingdom. Heaven is a real place, and it is breathtakingly good to think about good news, particularly at this time, as we have the pandemic. As I've studied this, I've got really excited about what God has prepared for us. You know, on one occasion, Jesus sent out his disciples on a little mission, and they all came back and they were so excited. They said, it's amazing that even, you know, the demons flee away when we come, and great things happen. And Jesus says, don't rejoice in that. What you should really rejoice in is that your names are written in heaven. That's what you should really rejoice in. We're told that there's exuberant joy in heaven when one sinner repents on earth and puts his trust in God and receives the forgiveness of sins. It makes sense, because God has gone to extraordinary lengths to send his Son to earth to open the door to heaven, and he's ecstatic when we avail ourselves of what he's done for us. Some of you have been around this church a little bit longer. We'll remember that we had a lovely lady who used to sit just about there, called Ella Corpus. She was in her 90s, and she died. And the day before she died, I went and visited her in Barnet General Hospital. Ella had did not have a Christian family, and her husband had died many years previously. But I was given the joy and the responsibility of preparing for her funeral. And I think there was a fitting funeral service at this church for our dear sister Ella. But what we did know was, after she had died, and we had the funeral and Thanksgiving service, her auntie came to me and she said, we found a letter in Ella's possessions addressed to the church. Here it is for you. And I opened this letter written in her handwriting, and it was rather short, and this is what she said. Goodbye to all my good friends in the Causeway Church. I'm going to my permanent home in heaven, and I'll be waiting for you there. Love, Ella. It was wonderful. It was such an encouragement to us, but it was an affirmation of her faith in God, with the certain hope that she was going safely home to heaven. She was a citizen of heaven, and she'd reached her heavenly home. She was in the presence of her King, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to affirm this, because the world has vague and fluffy views of heaven. Often we say, oh, I'm sure my parents are looking down on me. Or TV portrays heaven as a place of sort of fluffy clouds with angels sitting around with their harps. And it's often a caricature, and it's a mockery. And people say, oh, so-and-so is so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good. But I would suggest to you the far greater danger is we're so earthly minded that we've lost an understanding of the ultimate destination and the value of heaven and what pleases God. Perhaps it's particularly good to be reminded of this during this pandemic. We don't have to have airy-fairy views. We can have very clear views that God has prepared something amazingly wonderful for us. And we need to look at the implications of that. If we look at the implications of what God has done for us, it will change our lives very much now. Recently, I was reading the biography of William Wilberforce, who fought so hard for the abolition of slavery and against so many wrongs that he saw in society. And he really suffered. Boy, did he have some battles. But what was his motivation? What kept him going? His biographer tells us that every day he thought of heaven. And he knew that one day you'd have to give an account of his life to God. And he said, that's what kept me going. I don't want to waste a day. I want to do things on earth which please God and which count for eternity. Friends, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait a Saviour from there. I think of Paul's dilemma. Paul's dilemma, he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's our year verse, by the way. He says, if I'm going to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labour for me, yet what shall I choose? I don't really know. I'm in a dilemma. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. We'll have the first heading, which I've already pretty well covered. Set your heart on things above. I know Martin has to leave for like 7, we understand, Martin. So I'm going to just look at heaven, and I'm going to just look under three headings about heaven. The truth of it is that God wants people to dwell with him. That's the whole story of the Bible. That's how it started in the Garden of Eden. That's why God gave instructions about the tabernacle so that people could approach him. That's why Solomon built the temple and God's glory was there. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. It's so that we can be with our King, ultimately with our King. Can we imagine the unspoiled joy and privilege of being in the immediate presence of our King? No, we can't fully grasp it, but we're told quite a bit about it. And one of the things we can grasp is that when for a moment Jesus, when he was on earth, he revealed his glory with all his teaching and his miracles and his parables. But when he went up on the mountain and he was transfigured, just for a brief moment, some of his pre-incarnate glory was seen. And it absolutely dazzled the three disciples who were with him. And they were never the same again. They mentioned it in their letters. And so we can begin to look at some of these things. So the first thing is, heaven, we will be with Jesus, our King. In heaven, you will never be lonely. You will never have any misunderstandings with anyone. You will not have to practice social distancing. You will be part of God's perfect community. And what is going to happen is that God is going to reveal his wonderful presence to us and with us. What is the glory of Jesus? What is the glory of Jesus? We're going to see the glory of Jesus. This phrase, the glory of God, is repeated many times in Scripture. How can we define it? The glory of God is the infinite beauty and perfection and worth of God himself. It's the quality of the greatness of God. It's something that's incomparable, that cannot be improved. It signifies his infinite worth, his enormous beauty, and his holiness and value. And the supreme joy of heaven will be that we get to share it. We get to see Jesus, and it says, when we see him, we shall be like him. It's amazing to me that on the night before Jesus died, he prayed. We read that prayer in John chapter 17. And this is one of the things Jesus prayed. This is what he prayed. I'll quote exactly. Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. So Jesus is absolutely intentional, specific prayer request is that God would enable him to have with him those he's revealed his glory to, and that they will see his full glory in all its brightness, the awesome gloriness of God. And he's praying to his Father. He says, I want the opportunity to present to you in heaven those you've given to me. I want the opportunity. This will be my crowning moment to present to you those who trusted in me. Jesus is anticipating the heavenly banquet, the heavenly embrace of his beloved church that he's going to present to his Father. And all the way through Scripture, we read of the glory of God, and this is what it's about. So Jesus came and dwelt amongst us. John wrote, he put his dwelling amongst us, and we've seen his glory. In the life and the teaching of the miracles of Jesus, the disciples saw his glory. But there's going to come a time when they see it fully and permanently. Can we imagine that unspoiled joy and privilege when we're in the very presence of our God and of our King? We can't fully grasp it, but we can anticipate it. We can look forward to it. If the Queen was to walk into this room right now, I have a complete knowledge that none of you would listen to me. All your eyes would turn around, and your eyes would focus on the Queen. And it fills our hearts with praise and joy at the anticipation of seeing somebody great even on earth. How much more should be our anticipation at seeing Jesus our King in our real home? And what a difference that should make to the way you behave. If you knew the Queen was coming in here this morning, I fancy that you would have dressed up a bit special and you would have absolutely made sure that you were ready to see her. And that's what we should be doing as we look forward to seeing Jesus our King. Second heading. Heaven, we will enjoy perfect community. I've already mentioned, in heaven we'll never be lonely. Some of you listening to this service today probably are so tired of lockdown, you just long to be with other people. You long to be able to give your grandchildren a hug or your best friends. You long to be able to just sit down and have a cup of tea with people and talk to them without masks on. Well, there's coming a time in God's perfect community where God's people will be together with their King. But, the Bible tells us, there will be people from every background, every town, every nation, worshipping before God in perfect harmony. Black Lives Matter. There'll be no racial discrimination. There'll be no inequality. There'll be no problem of language. There'll be no problem of different accents. We'll all have perfect understanding and community with one another. This is a tremendous picture of God's redeemed people. Sadly, we all know that our families on earth have stresses and strains. There are broken relationships. There's a mother who does not talk to her son. There's been divorce in many cases. There's been a man who does not communicate with his brother. Parents estranged from their children. Neighbors who don't get on with one another. People that you haven't spoken to for years, because some rift occurred long, long ago. There is deep pain in human relationships on earth. No one is immune from those pains. We don't see a perfect society on earth. We've never been part of a perfect community. But one day we will be. One day we'll be part of a perfect community. Now, I really believe that we've enjoyed the church family, even during this pandemic. And we praise God for Zoom and FaceTime and all the other things which enable us to communicate with people. But good though they are, they won't be as good as what's going to really happen when face to face we can be together as God's community. Zoom meetings are great, but they're not quite the same. And you know, one of the things I've missed the most during the pandemic is that we've not been able to take the Lord's table together in church to share the reminders of the body and blood of Christ. But this picture we have of heaven is of an amazing international, multicultural, perfect community. It's a glorious picture of what God really intends for us in our relationships as we're with Him. This is part of the vision of heaven revealed in God's Word. And I'll tell you something I'm really looking forward to, and I hope that you are too. Third heading, heaven, our salvation will be complete. I hope and trust that you enjoy being a Christian. The joy and peace we have because our sins have been forgiven is wonderful. Yes, we can experience salvation now, and we have inexpressible joy in our status as God's children and members of His kingdom. However, the Bible also talks about the coming of our salvation. There's a future dimension to salvation mentioned in several occasions in Scripture. We are told that through faith we are being shielded until the coming of our salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. We're told that we see through a mirror darkly. It's like your glasses get fogged up and you put a mask on and you can't see properly. We sort of see vaguely now, but there's coming a time when we're going to see very clearly because we'll have perfect sight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're told that we should not lose heart, although outwardly we're wasting away because of this light and momentary troubles in the world. And we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Well, it's true. Much as we enjoy our salvation, all of us have those days, don't we? We have those days when we don't have exuberant joy, when our salvation is a struggle, when we feel crushed by trials and difficulties and this messy, sinful world seems to crowd in on us. Sadly, we all have regrets. We all have griefs. We don't yet feel the full force of our salvation, and some of us may even doubt that we'll ever receive it. There's so much that diminishes the quality of our life on earth, not least the sinfulness and our inability to live a fully worthy life of Christ. We're still tempted. We still sin. We still have thoughts which are impure. We still have regrets and attitudes which are tarnished. But there's coming a time when these will be banished forever. Every wholesome longing and aspiration will be fully satisfied. Then, as children of God, we will be worthy of our Heavenly Father. Every day is a day nearer to being with Him, and all that diminishes the quality of life on earth will be forgotten and absent. Everything that causes us stress and pain and mourning and suffering will be banished forever. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more goodbyes. There'll be no more regrets. We don't understand all our regrets. They're just absorbed into what Christ has done for us. We won't have any of those things. The limitations of the body, especially as we get older, which hamper us, will no longer be there. Nothing will spoil the perfect peace and joy of heaven. Our full potential as God's created beings will be realized. The heights of joy and peace and fulfillment we've experienced on earth will be eclipsed by what is in it. It's impossible for us to think right now on earth that we won't even be able to sin. We can't imagine that because we sin. We're so incapable of selfless thoughts. We're so selfish, in other words. But there's coming a time, there'll be no more jealousy, there'll be no more unkind words, there'll be no more bad attitudes. We will be saved to sin no more. And that's what Revelation promises. We're told that in the future consummation, there'll be nothing that is evil in heaven. There'll be no even shadow of incompleteness and beauty. I'm looking forward to that. Are you? Are you looking forward to that? There's just one more thing to say. Perhaps you can put the last little heading up. Who qualifies? Who qualifies for heaven? That heaven is our real home. Do you qualify? Do I qualify? This must be a valid and vitally important question. Not far from here, in Edmonton, is where Gladys Aylward grew up before she went. This diminutive parlour maid went off to China, and many of you will know her stories. But she wrote these words. She said, "My job in life is to convince people that they should put their trust in Jesus Christ, my Lord, who died on the cross for them, and then they would be on the straight road to heaven. And since Jesus Christ has come to life again and has promised to be with those who trusted and obeyed him, however beset with trials and temptations, the road to heaven might prove to be true. They fear nothing, for he will never let them down." And so this young girl in east of London with very limited education, she said, "Well, where are people in this world who've never heard about the road to heaven?" And she went to China, as we know her story. The Bible is unambiguous. It says that there's a book that will be opened. It's the Book of Judgment. And when the book is opened, it will be read. And nothing impure will ever enter heaven, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the qualification for the road to heaven. It's not our merits, it's not something we've done great, it's not the life we've tried to live which has been good. No, it's because our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life that we realize that Jesus, the Lamb of God, died for us. And that it's a substitute, that he died in our place, and as a result of that, our names can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our lives are measured against God's perfect standard, and the only person who kept God's perfect standard and who died in our place is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb's Book of Life is that record of all those who've called on the name of Jesus and who said, "I can't live a perfect life, but what Jesus did is what I want to shelter under. And because of him, I believe my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life." That is a tremendous joy to us and a tremendous cause for radical gratitude. But it's also something else. It's a deep cause for wanting us to live such our lives such that other people see us and say, "He's got something, she's got something I don't have. What have they got?" They've got the presence of God with them. They've accepted Christ into their lives. That's what makes the difference. And of course, we all have a heartache because we all have family and friends and members of our community whose names, as far as we know, only God truly knows, as far as we know, is not yet written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's a motivation to live for Christ and ask him to do the miracle of welcoming them into his kingdom. Right, we're going to finish like that, and we're going to have another song, and then I'll say a short closing prayer together. So our next song is By Faith.
We will send us to the
These light and momentary afflictions and troubles are nothing compared with the glory that is to be revealed. So we want to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Father God, thank you for the reminders of this today. Please encourage us by bringing it to mind during the course of this week that heaven is our real home. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.